A reading from 1 Peter. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Just after the baptism of Jesus, from the Gospel of John. The next day, John the baptizer saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which means Peter. The word of the Lord. Curious about John the Baptist's introduction of Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus, "Where are you going?" And Jesus said simply, "Come and see." It was the perfect act of hospitality. Some people extend hospitality with ease. They know exactly what to say to help one person get to know another person or to make a person feel genuinely welcomed and at home in a new community or context. But when it comes to introducing another person to Jesus Christ, as in our gospel story, or welcoming someone into the church with a desire to share what this place means to us, some of us feel a little awkward about how to go about it. Awkward because faith feels personal, and the word evangelism carries the connotations among staid Presbyterians of a Bible-thumping street preacher or altar call or something. Evangelism is a scary word, even to many Christians, writes Kathleen Norris. I've often heard people who are dedicated members of the church say, "I hate evangelism," or, "I'll do anything else for this church, but don't ask me to serve on the evangelism committee." She notes that for many, evangelism is a word that conjures up negative stereotypes of glad-handing proselytizers who make talk of Jesus uninviting with their language about being saved or born again. A lay leader in her congregation, Kathleen Norris, remembers being asked to preach in her home church when the church was between pastors one summer. Somehow, the church bulletin cover for that day had come from a large evangelical publishing house announcing summer opportunities. It suggested that as people spent time outdoors, at baseball games, picnics, or the beach, summer provided Christians with God-given opportunities to witness to their faith. So, to counter what she considered to be strange talking points for a mass-produced church bulletin on evangelism, she remembers. In my sermon, I said that going up to people at a picnic and asking, "Do you know the Lord?" is a good way to get yourself stuck with a barbecue fork. And you would deserve it, she added. Then, however, Kathleen Norris reflects upon being grateful for the many and various ways her church had evangelized her, sharing the love of God through the little things they did and said, and giving her room to experience the invitation of the gospel. I would say that one of the great spiritual gifts of this congregation is giving people room to experience the invitation of the gospel. Some looking in from the outside might consider us not evangelical enough, but we do seek to be an inclusive community of welcome. We welcome people of all ages and of varying points of view. We welcome people with deep faith and people with little or no faith to speak of at all. We welcome people who care deeply about having a personal relationship with God, and those whose faith is less about belief and more about working for justice. We recognize that doubt is a big part of faith, and that having faith does not mean we all have the answers to life's big questions. While this may not be the most diverse neighborhood around, we do enjoy some measure of diversity and are committed to opening our doors to any who would come in. Here at Bryn Mawr Presbyterian Church, a growing number of people have gotten excited about hospitality and how we can improve helping people feel welcomed and experience the genuine authenticity of this community of faith. As has been announced this morning, after worship, when we kick off the summer season with our annual Ice Cream Sundays on the Lawn, we are also inviting you today to enter the education building to see and to hear about an exciting initiative to renovate areas of our church campus. Much of this initiative is about increasing our sense of hospitality, making it easier for people to access our spaces and find their way around this church campus, to have adequate room for intergenerational gatherings and spaces better designed for meeting and mission as well as fellowship. This work of reimagining our campus largely represents a focused investment on hospitality, of welcoming people in and further engaging one another to the call of Christ upon our hearts and to the mission of this congregation. You know, we ponder how to be a community of hospitality against a cultural backdrop of increasing isolation. A study by Duke University and the University of Arizona shows that Americans are lonelier now than ever before. On average, most adults have only two people they can talk to about the most important things in their lives. About one quarter of people surveyed, 25% of the adults in our country, have no close confidants at all. The kinds of connections we studied, reported a Duke sociologist and author of the report, are the kinds of people you call on for social support, for real concrete help when you need it. While social media is on the rise, Americans say they are lacking in people to tell their deepest, darkest secrets. Like concerns about their health, or who will care for their children if something happens to them. While being more connected through the internet, we are actually more physically isolated. The study shows for too many people, the inner circle is contracting until it includes only family, only a spouse, or at worst, no one. Friends, against that reality, in our community and in our country, today's gospel urges us to be like John and Andrew and even Jesus himself, and invite people to come and become less lonely, to come and be part of a community that is open to families and individuals of great diversity, young and old, gay and straight, married and single, of varying points of view, but whose unity is found in Christ. Today, marked by the celebration of baptisms, and in a few minutes, the reception of new members, and a bold new initiative for our church campus, we lift up this spiritual gift of hospitality, of welcoming people into a deepened relationship with one another and as disciples together of Jesus Christ. That's what's happening in our story from John's gospel. It has been revealed to John the Baptist that Jesus is the Son of God. So John says to two of his own disciples, "Look, see for yourself. This is the one about whom I have been preaching." John simply points them in the direction of Jesus that they might see for themselves. When John's two curious disciples begin to follow Jesus, Jesus turns to them and meets them where they are. He does not push or coerce or judge. Instead, Jesus engages them. He asks them a question that gets at the heart of the human experience. Jesus asks, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for?" Encouraged by his approachability and openness, Andrew and his friend decide to follow Jesus a little farther. They ask him, "Where are you staying?" And a give and take relationship begins. Jesus responds to them again, "Come and see." They go. And they see, and they end up staying with Jesus all day. And then, of course, for the rest of their lives. No single Christian act of hospitality, the story seems to say, produces immediate faith. Hospitality simply begins with the invitation so that others can come and see for themselves. We cannot fully convince someone what Jesus did, or who Jesus is, or why he continues to preoccupy our attention. All we can really do is what John the Baptist did, and what his disciple Andrew did, which is to say, come and see. Come join our journey in Jesus' footsteps, and you will see what the fuss is all about. Come to a church school class with me, and you'll see why I'm drawn to this church. Come to youth gatherings or to Camp Kirkwood, and you'll see why I keep coming back. Come, get involved in Bryn Mawr's outreach ministries, and you'll find ways that you can make a difference through this church in a world of need. Come to choir practice. Come next Sunday and join the summer choir. Come to worship with me, because I may not even be able to put it into words why I come, but you might find a place here for yourself. There's an old story I love about the author and theologian C.S. Lewis. Well into his adulthood, he had been an atheist most of his life. When he came to the Christian faith, it was in very small increments. He actually began going to church long before he was sure about Christianity. I started attending my parish church on Sunday and my college chapel on weekdays, he wrote. Not because I believed in Christianity. Church going was merely symbolical and provisional practice. For a long time, Lewis tried faith on symbolically and provisionally. Only later did it click. He told of going on an outing with his brother to the zoo of all places, riding in the sidecar of his brother's motorcycle. When we set out, I did not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when we reached the zoo, I did. Who knows what led C.S. Lewis to that moment of clarity? The Christian church is certainly grateful for it, because Lewis left us with a theology that makes sense to people who have difficulty coming to belief. C.S. Lewis understood from his own experience that faith in God comes from repeated acts of hospitality and the experience of having room to explore and to ask questions. Faith is rarely instantaneous. But even unbelieving at first, he trotted on. He went to church. He committed to read and to study. And only after many opportunities to come and see did he begin to look at the world through the lens of faith and to have hope in his heart through the person of Jesus Christ. To know Christ and to feel at home in his church is not a matter of intellectual certainty. It is not about ethical perfection. It is not about having it all figured out or having it all together. To know Jesus is to embark on a journey asking ourselves, what are we looking for? And then to follow, and to stay with Jesus long enough to want to keep following. It's a matter of hospitality. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. Amen.